All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. It is Oral Yom Yod Aleph Cheshvan. We are learning Lidui Nishmasa and Lezecha Nishmasa, Miriam Frund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaHashal, may her neshama merit a continuous aliyah in the schus of this Torah that we share this evening. And we thank her family very, very much for their dedication to our Chabura, and may this year bring many schusim of besuras tovos to Miriam Frund's entire family, as well as an aliyah neshama for her. So it's the Yirtzei V'Chalimenu. So I'm not going to give a whole shiur on V'Chalimenu. I just thought that it would be appropriate to start with one vignette. It is Yod Aleph Cheshvan, begins this evening, Vayhi Er Vayhi Boker. So I thought it would be very appropriate to begin there. So I'm going to go to screen share, and please, Hashem, tell me it's working. Is it working? Baruch Hashem. Okay. So the psukim are very, very beautiful. We're in Yirmiyahu. Rachel dies in Perek Lamed Hei of Bereishis. She has difficulty in her birthing, and the midwife says, do not worry, this one will be a son for you. And her, as her soul is leaving her because she is dying, she says, Ben Oni, and his father calls him Binyamin, and she dies, and she is buried on the way to Ephras, he beis Lachem, and Yaakov erects the matzeva of Keva Rachel. The very famous psukim regarding Rachel Imenu are from Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Aleph. So the truth is, they begin before the very famous Kol Berama. It's a very beautiful nevuah that you could see on my screen. And in the end of days, the Navi says, Shimu Dvar Hashem Goyim, V'hagidu Bi'im Mimerchak. Listen up to the word of God, all of you nations, and tell the word in the islands afar. V'imru Mizarei Yisrael Yekabtenu. The one who scattered Israel will gather them in. U'shamra Kiroa Edro. He will guard them as a shepherd guards his flock. Ki pada Hashem et Yaakov, God will remember and redeem Yaakov, u'gulalo miyad chazak mimenu. He'll redeem us, ge'ula, from the hand that is stronger than us. Uva'u v'rininu v'miram tzion. We will come, they will come, and they will rejoice, they will exult in the heights of Tzion. V'naharu al tuv Hashem, they will stream to the goodness of God. Al dagon v'al tirosh v'al yitzar, over grain, over wine, over oil. V'al b'nei tzon uvakar, there will be sheep and cattle. V'haysan nafsham kin gad reva. And our souls in the end of days will be like a watered garden. V'lo yasifu l'dava od. You'll never worry or languish again. Az tismach besul b'machal. Then the virgin, the maiden, will rejoice with her dancing. U'vachurim uzkenim yachtav. Young ones and old men will sit together. V'hafachti avlam l'sasam. I will change their avelus into rejoicing. V'nichamtim. I will comfort them. V'simachtim, I will rejoice them, mi gonam, from their yagon, from their sighing, from their grief. I will widen the souls of the Kohanim with fatness, and my nation will be satiated with my goodness, says Hashem. So the Navi here, Yirmiyahu, describes such a beautiful vision at the end of days when we will be satiated. There will be flocks, there will be wine, there will be grain, there will be oil, there will be dances, there will be comfort, there will be no more sighing. There will be the kibbutz galios. The youth will sit with the elders and everyone will rejoice. The Kohanim will be satiated once again. Ah, Kol Amar Hashem. Sorry, I skipped the pasuk. Kol Amar Hashem, Kol Birama Nishma. A voice is heard on the heights. Nihi Bechi Tamrumim. Lamentation and bitter keening and bitter weeping. Rachel Mevaka Al Bana. Rachel cries for her children. May Ana Lihinachem Al Bana Keininu. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no longer. Kol Amar Hashem, so says God. Mini Kolich Mi Bechi. Hold your voice back from crying. Ve'enayach Mi Dima. And your eyes from tears. Ki Eish Sachar Lepulateich. There is reward. There is a reward for your efforts. Num Hashem swears God, V'shavu meretz oyev. Your sons will return from the land of the enemy. V'yesh tikva la'achariteich, Num Hashem. There is hope for your end, promises God. V'shavu banim legvulam. Sons will return to their borders. Alavai v'shitso merited immediately. And in our days, when I stood at the grave of Zachariah Baumel last summer, July 2019, and at the bottom of the grave of the Matseva of Zechariah Baumel is engraved with this pasuk, V'shavu banim legvulam. So I just want to share with you a Rashi, very impactful Rashi, on the first pasuk, Kol Amar Hashem Kol Berama Nishma, Nihi Bechit Harmumim, Rachel Mevaka Abanei. You can see it on my screen, we translated already. So there's a powerful Rashi here, Recham Vakal Bnei. Rashi is quoting the Medrash Agada. Medrash Agada Amar, the Medrash Agada says, Shehalchu avos v'imahos lefayis es HaKadosh Baruch Hu al shehem yin Menashe demus behechal. The forefathers and the foremothers went to appease God because Menashe, the wicked king, put a Avodah Zarah, a gotchka, an idol, into the sanctuary. V'lonit payis. God was not appeased. He didn't want to hear Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov went, Sarah, Rivka, Leah went. God was not listening. He was very angry and he wants to destroy Knesset Israel. Nichnasa Rachel. In comes Rachel Imenu. Amra, and she says, Amra Lefanav. She says before the Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the world, Rachamei Mimi Rubim. Who has greater mercy? Rachel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachamecha. Do you have greater mercy? Or Rachamai? Or do I, Rachel Imenu, am I more merciful than you, God? Bivadai hayu omer, Rachamecha merubim, bivadai havei omer, Rachamecha merubim, certainly. Says Rashi and Yirmiyahu, Paragam, and Al Pasuk Tesvav, quoting the Medrash. Certainly you would say that your mercy, God, you are more merciful. You are the Baal Rachamim. You're more merciful than me, Abbasar Vadan, Rachel Imenu. And nevertheless, Hallo ani hichnasti tzarati betoch beiti? Did I not bring my rival into my own home? Shekol avoda shavad Yaakov, because all the work that Yaakov Avinu worked as avi for my father, lo avad ele bishvili, he made a deal with my father that he was going to work 7 years. For bitcha Rachel haktana, kushabati likanes lechupa, and it was that time to stand under the marriage canopy, hichnisu et achoti. Look at this. We don't do this in our place, said Lavan, to put the younger before the elder. And who went first? My sister. The low die. And it wasn't enough. Sheshatakti, that I remained silent. I didn't say, wait a minute, you're marrying the wrong one. That's Leah. Ella, not only that, Shemasarti lasimanai. I gave her the secret signs so she wouldn't be embarrassed. I brought my rival into my home and I was so kind. Af ata, so God, you should take a lesson from me, Rachel Imenu. Im hichnisu banecha tzaratecha beveitecha. If your children brought your rival into your home, shtok lahem. Be quiet. Look away. Don't get so angry. Don't destroy them. Amar la. Ribono Shel Olam said to her, yafeh. Good job. Lamadit sanegoria. Wow. You presented a good defense for Knesset Yisrael. Yesh schar lepulatech v'letzidkatech. There is a reward for your work and for your righteousness. Shemasart simanech achotech, that you gave your signs to your sister. Not only that you gave your signs to your sister, is there a reward in the short term, which is that God opened her womb. When Hashem opened her womb, Rashi says, Vayizkar Elokim et Rachel, Vayishmael Elokim v'yivtech et Rachma. So Rashi says, Perek Lamed Abreishis, that Hashem remembered she gave her signs to her sister. But here the Medrash is saying, not just that you gave her signs to your sister will stand for you in order to conceive and have Yosef and then Binyamin, but ultimately will stand for your children, so I will not destroy them. Because you brought your rival into your home, I too, God, will allow the rival to come into my home. I will be mevater, so to speak, and I won't destroy Knesset Yisrael. It is also the yahrzeit of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Levracha, previous Rosh Yeshivas Mir Yerushalayim. So I'm just going to tell you one story from the Rav Nassim Tzvi biography, which I love, the Rav Nassim Tzvi art school biography. If you haven't read it, it's quite inspiring and amazing. That combines, really, Rav Nassim Tzvi with Rachel Imenu. And then we're going to go back to our learning. Rav Shia Ozer Halpin related. He once took the Rosh Hashiva, meaning Rav Nassim Tzvi, to visit a wealthy Hasidic Jew who asked him to retell the famous story of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal and his visit to Kever Racha. You are the one who took them, Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nassim Tzvi said to Rav Shia Ozer, so you tell the story. So Rav Shia Ozer related to this wealthy Hasid that he had the privilege of walking with Rav Chaim Shmulevitz every morning at 6 a.m., One day he asked Rav Chaim, did he want to visit Kever Rachel? He responded by asking if there was a public phone nearby, because he wanted to tell his wife, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that he would be home 45 minutes later than usual. The Talmidim found a phone, and he told the Rebbetzin that Rav Chaim was planning to visit Kever Rachel, he would be late. As soon as they told Rav Chaim, the Rebbetzin knew, and they could go. This is a famous story that the Chassid wanted to hear. He began sobbing uncontrollably, as though some great calamity had struck. He was wailing. It was such heart-rending wails that when they finally arrived at Kever Rachel, the soldier stationed asked the Talmidim what had happened. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz entered Kevur Rachel and he cried out, Mama, Mama, Danzen Chaimke is gekemen. Very famous story. Mama, Mama, your Chaimke, your child Chaimke is here. He davened for other people he knew who were sick in need of salvation. And before leaving, he famously declared, Mama, Hashem tells you to stop crying, mini kolich mi bechi. But your son Chaimke says, Vain, Mama, vain. Keep crying for your children. The chassid was very moved when he heard the story. Rav Nassim Tzvi realized that the chassid was very moved. So he said to the chassid, tell me, what do you see in this story? The chassid said, I see the feeling in the heart that Rav Chaim had for Klal Yisrael. Well, that is certainly true, said the Rosh Hashiva, I see something else. If you're going to come home late, call your wife and let her know. In this brief encounter, the Rosh Hashiva took the opportunity to impart an important lesson in Midos that would remain with this wealthy donor forever. Let us go back. So, so the Ribbono Shel Olam should bring us to the day when we saw the first part of the Nevuah, and he would turn our Hespedim, our Yagon, to Simcha, and virgin daughters, maidens will rejoice with dancings, and Kohanim will be satiated once again, and we will enjoy the bounty of the land. A time of bracha with the ultimate ke'ula. So we are on page 227 of the Sefer. And the last pasuk we read in the Sefer is, Al kein ya'azov ish asaviv asimo v'davak bishto v'ayula basar achat. We've spent the past two classes talking about different aspects of what that pasuk means. Two classes ago, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, are we b'nei basar b'nei nefesh? Last week, the b'nei basar and the rishay aretz. These shiurim are accessible on YU Torah if you missed them. So I don't know if anyone remembers, but at the beginning of two classes ago, I told you I was going to quote an insight from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam on, therefore a man should leave his father and mother and cling to his wife and become one flesh. And then I said, and then I'm going to tell you an insight from, does anyone remember what I said? Rabbi Lav. I said, then I'm going to tell you an insight from Rabbi Israel Meir Lav Shlita. So I am obligated to tell you the insight of Rav Yisrael Meir Lav. It's a different pshat than Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, and it's not what we spoke about last week, okay? This is actually brought down. It's a Torah, Ha'ara, in his book, Out of the Depths. If you do not read Out of the Depths, if you didn't read Bunas Tzvi, the Arts Choreography, you should read it. If you didn't read Out of the Depths, you should definitely read it. So it's actually here, and he talks about meeting his future father-in-law, who was a well-known Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik in his own right, Rav Yitzchak Yedid Gefrenkel. Okay, so he's sitting on the balcony. He meets his prospective father-in-law, who was a very well-known Talmud Chacham. So we sat on the balcony, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau writes, which offered a view of the entire city of Jaffa. The rabbi served me a post-Shabbos evening meal, and he said something to me that I will always remember. I can call you Israel, right, Rav Yisrael Meir Lau? I can call you Israel. Israel, have you ever noticed the second chapter of Genesis? Again, this book was translated, I believe, from the Hebrew. Have you ever noticed in Perek Beis of Bereishis, which describes the creation of Adam and Eve? Adam says, Zo tapam etzem me'atzamay, ubasar mi'bsari. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Lo zodi karei isha, she will be called woman because she was taken from man. And then the Torah says this, if in parentheses, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. The entire institution of marriage, says Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidya Frenko, is contained in this verse. This is the basis for generation upon generation. This is what it will be like when you got married, Israel, like Adam and Eve. And under the chuppah, one of the Shavuot brachos is, let the loving couple be exceedingly joyful. Just like you made your creations joyful in the Garden of Eden of old. Every couple is an imprint and a continuation of that first man and first woman. Now I ask you, he's meeting his prospective father-in-law. Now I ask you, remember he was a child survivor, he came to Eretz Yisrael, he did not grow up with parents, or in what we would imagine is a normal, he was taken by an uncle. So here he's meeting this venerated sage. Now I ask you, said Rabbi Frankel, really, why does the Torah emphasize the negative side of this? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. We understand the importance of he shall cleave to his wife and become one flesh, establish a home, a family, a couple. But why does the Torah say, Ya'azov, Yod, Ayin, Zayin, Bet? to leave the parents. For 20 years, the parents invest in that child. Remember, his daughter is about to marry. They can't sleep a night while he burns with fever. They work overtime in order to support him. They take care of his every need. And after 20 years, he leaves his father and his mother. What is this, a divorce from the parents? What did they do to deserve this? Why does the Torah say to leave? I listened carefully, said Rabbi Lau. I thought this was a fascinating question, but then I thought, is this why I came to the rabbi's house? I want to hear what he has to say, but my proposing marriage to his daughter, is this a parting meal? All of a sudden, he poses a question from the Torah. He puts me on the spot. I had no answers. Thinking quickly, I admitted to the rabbi, I never thought about this verse. And so he answered, I will tell you what I think. Sometimes I stand under the chuppah before a bride and a groom, said Rabbi Frankel, who I do not know. And often I ask myself, will this match last? After all, these are two different worlds. How can they possibly cleave v'davak to one another? And I ask myself, Yitzchak Yedidya, what can you say at the wedding ceremony of these two worlds? But then, on either side of the couple are the parents. 20 or 30 years ago, those parents stood in the exact same position. They were excited brides and grooms at their own weddings. They were also not born in the same mold, but the connection between them has held. And now those two people are marrying off the next generation. In other words, when we look at the parents' home, when we see a father respecting a mother respecting a father, when we see that home of peace and love, it's an example for the chain of generations to follow. And so he continued and said, Israel, so Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel, Israel, the verb to leave does not only mean the verb ayin, zayin, bet, la'azov, to leave, does not only mean to leave. It also means inheritance. Did anyone ever know this? I actually looked it up a while ago, but I did look it up because I doesn't mean anything that I didn't hear something, but I never knew that before. The word, the root, azov, ayin, zayin, bet, means inherit, inheritance. As in the word izavom. The word izavon, the root is also ayin, zayin, bet. There is a material. So what does this have to do with the wedding? Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv et imo v'davak bishto v'ayilu basar echad. And the pshat means a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife and become one flesh. So 2 weeks ago, we explained that according to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, if you're the b'nei basar, then of course you leave the past generation. They have nothing to give you. If you're the b'nei nefesh and you cling, no, that's a different pshat. But here, Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel teaches that izavon, ayin zayin beit vavnun, bet vavnun, means inheritance. Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv et imo. Therefore, a man shall take the inheritance that his parents bequeathed to him. And using that inheritance, he shall cling to his wife, form one flesh, and begin a new family. There is, we are not speaking about, said Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel, a material inheritance, which parents bequeath to their children after a long life. We speak rather of a spiritual inheritance, which they grant their son or daughter the day the child leaves home and gets married. Leaving one's father and mother, ya'azov et avish, ish et aviv et imo, means izavon. Take their inheritance, the spiritual inheritance that they bequeath to you. The Torah presents this as a condition. If a man leaves his father and mother and wants a chance of cleaving truly to his wife and succeeding in raising a family, it will only be if he takes the spiritual inheritance of his parents, of his grandparents, of all the generations that came before us, all the way back to Matan Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu. Al kein ya'azov ish et aviv et imo. If, therefore, a person will take the inheritance from his father and mother, the generations of the past, all the way back to Rachel Imenu, who's crying for us. Her example is Vatrana, is just one example from one moment in her life. Then V'davak Bishto, and then V'hayu L'basar Echad. So this is a beautiful explanation from Rabbi Yitzchak Yedidya Frankel Zatzal. With that, we will go back to the Sefer. So if you have the Sefer in front of you, you're on page 227, okay? So we began with Rachel Imenu. We looked at the Pesukim from Yirmiyahu. And then alternative interpretation into that pasuk from Bereishis, and now we're going back inside. Okay, we read in the Torah, page 227, it's called Two Levels of Dveikus, Klinging. We read in the Torah, a man must therefore leave his parents and cleave to his wife. I think we have given, not exhaustive commentary, but a number of in-depth insights into this verse. There are two levels, continues our author, of Dveikus, two levels of attachment or cleaving in a husband-wife relationship. Of course, remember, this is a book on our relationship with God. So he's going to use this as a springboard to tell us about our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. There are two levels of Dveikus, attachment or cleaving in a husband-wife relationship. On one level, it is the Dveikus of two separate beings. You have two separate beings, totally different beings, different backgrounds, different upbringings, different parents, different personalities, different educations, different towns, totally different. Two separate beings cling together. As strong as the bond may be, it is still the bond of one entity with another. There is the I, there is the thou. We are two separate entities and we cling together, but two separate entities. On the deepest level, however, on a deeper level, Adam was created singular as one entity with Chava. So I try to be very macabre, but I do not like to call her Chava from the time that she was created at all. I try and call her Isha, everything pre and the Perikimel, she's Isha. Everything after then the Perikimel, she is Chava. So I'm going to change it from Chava to Isha, okay? Adam was created singular. So on the base level, you have two separate beings, and they cling together, but they remain two separate beings. On a deeper level, Adam was created as one entity together with Isha, okay? Bereishis 1:27, Perak Aleph Chof Zion. Vayivra Elokim et Adam Bitsalmo, Bitsalam Elokim Bara Oso, Zachar Unikeva Bara Osam. And Elokim created man, in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And Rashi tells us it's so difficult to understand, I don't want to say strange, but it's a difficult midrashic interpretation. We who live in this world as separate entities from each other, cannot really understand what this means. But there was one being, Rashi to Bereishis 1:27, there was one being with two parts of him. It was at the male side and the female side, it was one creation. Okay. That being did not last. We know that we don't walk around like that. That was in Perak Al Pasuch of Zion, when it was Zachar Unikeva Barosam. So there was one being, not two different entities that came together. One being, male and female. In Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin 2:7, okay, a few pasukim later, that one being did not last. Then, Vayitzar Shem Elkim Esa Adam, Afar Min HaAdama, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, Vayi Adam Menefesh Chayim. God, in his infinite wisdom, saw that that one being was not the future of humanity, and he separated Adam and Isha. In Beis Pasuk Zayin, chapter 2, verse 7, you have the refashioning. No, it doesn't say Vayivra. 1:27 is Vayivra. God made a new creation. 2:7 is Vayitzer. Hashem refashioned that new creation into man. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam. God Elokim fashioned man, dust from the earth. He blew into his nostrils the store of life. Man became a speaking spirit. So that one being that was Zachar and Nekeva together is now separate. You have the fashioning of man, 2:7. 2:22, even Hashem Elokim et Hatzela, asher lakach mina Adam, ala Isha. God Elokim took the sidebone and he created Isha. Vayiven, new verb. So let's go back to the Mechaber. So we understand in Perek Beis, 2:7 and 2:22, we have the creation of Adam and Isha respectively. And then we're told those two separate beings should come together. But they're separate beings. But if you remember that in 1:27, Perek Al Pasuk Chav Zayin, there is a creation of one being together, then actually Adam and Isha were not really apart at the moment of their creation. They were one being, not two entities coming together, one being together. So the author writes, the Mechaber writes, on the deepest level, Adam was created singular as one entity with Isha. They were only separated at a later stage. So in this sense, when the pasuk says Al kein yazov ish et aviv et imo v'davak bishto v'ayula basar echad, what we're really trying to get to is the original oneness of 127. Okay, Barak al pasuk of Zion zachor nekeva bara osam. That didn't last. Hashem in His wisdom saw it would not last. 2:7, Adam is created. Vayitzer, Adam is fashioned. 2:22, Isha is built. What is the goal of Adam and Isha? Every Adam and every Isha, from the first man and woman down to our time, to go back to that original oneness. Marriage is really a return to the original oneness. Of course, next paragraph, there is no guarantee that a man's bond with his wife will be on the level of that original oneness. It's our tafka to strive to come back to that original oneness. It's not a guarantee since we were separated. It's an avoda, a work, to see that we can come back to that original oneness. They may bond, but since they arrived in the world separately, in this particular lifetime, parentheses, perhaps in other lifetimes as well, they might only bond as two separate beings. They could still bond, but they're still separate. Or they could bond and come back to oneness. So what does this have to do with our Avodas Hashem? Is this a book of marriage counseling or therapy? No. There is a parallel here in everything that he teaches us about our relationship with God. So it is when one cleaves, v'davak, when one cleaves to the Creator. One might, two options, and you could already understand where we're going. You might see yourself as separate from God, but cleaving to God. That's man, woman, separate, coming together, two different entities who manage to cleave to each other. Or you might see yourself as one entity cleaving to the Ribbono Shel Olam. How is my soul connected to God? How do I feel that connection to God? Am I separate from God, but I work on clinging to God? Or am I part and parcel of the oneness? Kaviyacha, vayul basar achad, kaviyacha. So it is when one cleaves to the Creator. One might cleave with the awareness that Hashem is his source, capital S, but still feel there are two separate entities, and they have happened to be attached. Okay, when you think of a baby in utero who's attached to his mother, is it a separate entity from the mother? He's an entity, she's an entity, and they happen to be attached? Or are they one entity who are together? One might cleave with the awareness that Hashem is his source, but still feel there are two separate entities that happen to be attached. My neshama is a chelek Elokai mimel, my soul is a portion of God from above. So I'm attached, but I'm a separate entity. I'm here in this world. I'm living my life. You're there in that world. You're in control of everything. I'm trying to cleave to you, but I'm separate from you. What separates me from you is worlds, universes. If so, that person has not attained the sense of one unity with Hashem. In that case, remember a few weeks ago, Yisrael kitshabrichu araisa chadhu, and we spoke about the middle vav in the Torah, the vav rabasi, the gachon, big vav. Asta Edelman, how you write out vav? Okay, we'll go back and find it online also. I don't mean that insulting, I'm being serious, because I know we cover a lot of material. I'm being serious. So if you want to reach the level of Yisrael, Oraisa, Kucha, Brichu, Chadhu, Israel, Torah, and God are one, you can't view yourself as separate from Hashem. There's me, Hashem, there's my life, and then there's you. I'm trying to come close to you over a lifetime of work, but there's me and there's you. Then you do not have the Chadhu, the oneness with God. However, a person who enters more deeply into his own soul discovers real oneness with the Creator. It's a very high madriga to be totally connected at all times to Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm striving to come closer to you. I am you. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. God blew into his nostrils the soul of life. The neshama emanated. The neshama is an emanation from God. This is the general definition of unconditional love. It is a revelation of the essence of the soul. And the soul, the essence of the soul, like we say in davening every morning, my God, the soul that you placed in me is pure. Atav Rasa, 1:27. Atah Yitzarta, 2:7. Atah Nefachta Bi, 2:7. Atah Meshama Bekirbi. The soul you placed in me, you created it, you fashioned it, you blew it into me. It's pure, and you guard it for me for the future. And in the future, you'll take it away and give it back to me. So do I see my soul as absolutely connected to God at all times? So it's hard. We have the Yetzer Hara, gets in the way. I was just preparing for Shir tonight. When I was preparing for Shir tonight, I wasn't even planning to say this over. Let me see if I can find this. They're asking Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. This is Rav Aaron Leib Steinman biography. Gaon Olam. Gaon Olam. If you didn't read this biography, I'll just read it. Oh, listen to this. I wasn't even planning to say this, but as I'm speaking, it comes to mind, and I saw it when I was preparing for Shir. It's very short. A grandson, by the way, we're coming up to Zirtzai, Chavdal Kislev. A grandson once asked Rav Aaron Leib, since you learned in several different yeshivas in Brisk, in Europe, and elsewhere, as well as with Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger, who do you consider your primary Rebbe? Rav Aaron Leib sighed deeply, and he said, unfortunately, for me, my primary Rebbe is the Yetzer Hara, but I am always trying to get rid of him. So, I don't mean to say anything about Rav Aaron Leib Steinman Chalil Vachas, because obviously it doesn't apply. For someone on my level, the Yetzer Hara is always getting in the way of feeling that oneness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're all striving to be Ovdei Hashem, servants of God. But perhaps we feel there's me, there's you, I'm trying to come close to you, instead of there's one. Oneness with Hashem in Yisrael, page 228. Baruch Hashem, we finish page 227. Page 228, where is Esther? Is she smiling? Oneness with Hashem and Yisrael. The Talmud, Bava Basra 16b, I'm just reading from the footnote. The Gemara says of the friends of Eov that when one was not well, the others knew of it. Even though they lived hundreds of miles from each other. You know they've done twin studies that say, Esther smiling. So you know they've done twin studies where they say that one twin can feel how another twin is feeling even if they're not together. I don't know if my twins never participated in those studies or in other studies, but that's what they say, that they can feel each other. So sometimes a person can feel how somebody else feels even if they are very far apart from each other. So then it discusses, the Gemara discusses the method they used for divining each other's troubles. Okay. What is the root of this ability to know what is happening to a friend who lives far away? It is the hidden power of oneness that binds every Jew to his fellow. So it's not just Yisrael, it's not just K'tisha Brichu, Araisa Yisrael Chadhu, that God is one with Torah, is one with Israel, but also Yisrael must be one with Yisrael. Chalimenu cries for us. Chalimenu didn't know us personally. She's not only crying for Yosef and Binyamin who were orphaned. She's not only crying for the Shvatim. She's crying for our exile. She refuses to be comforted because her children are not there. Where does that stem from? I was giving a shiur this morning. And I'm talking about Nava Applebaum's wedding gown that's hanging in Kever Rachel. It says Hakala Lenetzach. I was mamish crying. Not forcing myself to cry. Nachas Hashem putting on show. I was crying. Why? What does that oneness stand from? It's the hidden power of oneness that binds every Jew to his fellow. You know, if you're somewhere like in the middle of your Chuppetzville in the olden days before COVID, when we used to actually travel places, you know, you could be driving on the New York State Thruway and you're at this rest stop and you see another Yid and you feel like, wow, Baruch Hashem, that's my friend, that's my brother, I'm connected. You could ask him a question, what time is it? Do you have extra, I don't know, crackers? You need a snack? Well, I never met the person in my life. I don't even know their name. So what is it? There's a power of oneness that binds every Jew to his fellow. Just as when one's foot hurts, your whole body feels pain. One limb or one organ, chas v'shalom, is bothering you, your whole body, it's systemic disruption. How come you don't feel well? If one thing hurts, your whole body doesn't feel, you feel like you can't function properly. It's only one thing that hurts. Grow up. No, that's not how it works. Your whole body's connected. So if you feel debilitating pain in one place, it's going to affect your whole functioning. So that is the nimshal. If one aspect of Knesset Yisrael is suffering, then the whole Knesset Yisrael should be suffering. I have a private session Wednesday afternoons. Yeah, our foot hurts. Famous story. It's in the Rav Aryeh Levine biography. They went to Dr. Nachum Cook. He was an uncle, a brother to Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. I don't have the biography downstairs with me because I wasn't anticipating that comment, but Rav Aryeh Levine took his wife, it's brought down in the biography, Tzadik in her time, to the doctor, to Dr. Cook, and he said, our foot hurts. And my private session Wednesday afternoon, so the person that I learned with requested in the Tziyotzei V'chalimenu, Rachel Mavakar, that we shared on Zoom screen, we screen shared on Zoom, the Kol Berama of which singer? I'm going to tell you. Simcha Leiner. Have you ever seen the Kol Berama music video of Simcha Leiner, tribute to the Fogel family? If you want, you don't want. If you feel you have an obligation, which we do, I will send it to you. So why do we cry when you see the Fogel family, such a beautiful family, before the massacre in Itamar? And then you see there are 5 body bags lined up. So Rachel doesn't only cry, we cry. Why do we cry? Because you feel the pain and the suffering of another Jew. Yisrael, Oraisa, Kichu, Brichu, Chadhu. And just like we have to feel the clinging to God, not as a separate entity. Could you imagine if you always felt Hashem as part of you? So the battle with the Yetzer would be so much easier. Because I am connected all times to Hashem. So whatever I'm doing, Hashem wants me to be doing. Not telling myself that, to remind myself, feeling it. But for me, so if Rav Aaron Leib Steinman could say this, so what should we say on our level? For me, he said, my primary Rebbe is the Yetzer Hara, but I'm always trying to get rid of him. So what should Michal Harad say? So what is the root of the ability to know what's happening to a friend who lives far away? It is the hidden power of oneness that binds every Jew to his fellow. Just as when one foot hurts, the whole body feels pain, because it is all one, you won't be able to function properly if one area is in pain. I think the best example of that, by the way, is a debilitating headache. If a person, chas v'shalom, has a real migraine, so you could say, only your head's hurting, what's wrong with you? Get out of bed. I can't function. Why can't I function? You have a headache. Your head hurts. I can't get out of bed. You're all connected. So isn't that how Knesset Yisrael should feel about each other? There's a hidden power of oneness that binds every Jew to his fellow. When one is privileged to connect deeply with the souls of Israel, he feels their pain as if he feels his own pain. Excuse me. It is known that tzaddik can feel the pain of others. So I didn't mean to bring my example to say anything by myself. Chas v'shalom. I don't know that. I think they're on a different madriga. Tzaddik can feel the pain of others on a different madriga. But I think that every yid who is a thinking, caring, feeling yid feels the pain of other Jews. I don't believe anyone here does not feel the pain of Achinu B'nai Yisrael. How is it possible to feel the pain of others? The power of oneness. So not only one with God. Nah, I'm two separate entities. There's me, there's God. I try to come close. One entity. So two. That's what Hashem says right before 127, 126. Man is made in the tzelem and the dumus, the image and likeness of the Creator. That means he's part of the Creator. So I shall feel one with Hashem. Not separate and come to you. One. And furthermore, with my fellow, not separate, and come to you, one. I am, we all have the same last name, all of us. We dress different, we look different, we pronounce Hebrew different, we read different things in our head, we have different affiliations, different schools, different shuls, but we're one. And only when we have that oneness that binds all souls to each other, will we feel the pain of each other. And that is revealed in the tzaddik's soul. As such, when the branch suffers, the root feels it as well. So I'm going to quote once again from the Rav Nassim Tzvi biography. The last thing we read is that a tzaddik feels the pain in his soul of every other Jew. So I think this is a beautiful illustration of that idea. Despite his deep-seated aversion to machlokas, to strife, Rav Nachman Tzvi found ways to get his message across when he was displeased with something a person had said or done. On September 11th, 2001, Rav Nachman Tzvi was at home with a visitor from America, home meaning in Jerusalem, when the news arrived of the World Trade Center attacks. The visitor immediately stopped the meeting with Rav Nachman Tzvi to telephone his family in America to assure himself that they were safe. Baruch Hashem, nothing happened to anyone in my family, he declared, and he hung up the phone, happy. The Rosh Hashiva did not respond, but he then went to the Beis Medrash and took the unusual step of delivering an impromptu shmooze. It was a musar shmooze. And he said, I don't understand how a person could be happy during such a tragedy because he finds out his family was spared. The Rosh Hashiva exclaimed this with obvious distress. How can you be happy after hearing that so many other people are suffering? We consider ourselves all one. And if somebody suffers, then I suffer. Because if my head has a migraine, then my stomach hurts me. Why? Because we're connected. A beautiful gadol in this realm of feeling compassion, love, pain, rejoicing, mourning of other Jews was Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Zatzal. If you didn't read this, also An Angel Among Men by Simcha Raz. Oh, it's the same biographer as the Tzaddik in our time. Rav Aryeh Levine's biographer, Simcha Raz, is also the biographer of An Angel Among Men, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. Rav Aryeh Levine, I'm quoting from the biography of Rav Kuk. Rav Aryeh Levine, the Tzaddik of Jerusalem, described Rav Kuk's reaction to the Chevron massacre. I don't know if anyone saw the cover of Mishpacha a few weeks ago. It was a tribute to the American victims of the Chevron massacre. It was excellent. It was excellent coverage. It was very important. If you didn't read it and you still can, try to get it. I remember with sacred awe, so this is a recollection of Rav Aryeh Levine, the famed Tzaddik of Jerusalem, about Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzaddikim Uktoshim Levracha. Excuse me. I remember with sacred awe the moments that shook every fiber of my heart, said Rav Aryeh Levine, and the event will remain engraved in my heart forever. On the 19th of Av, 5689, 1929, I accompanied our master, meaning Rav Kuk, to Hadassah Hospital to find out via telephone about the welfare, it was over Shabbos, the massacre, about the welfare of our brethren in Hebron. When he learned of the slaughter of those holy and pious souls, he fell backwards to the ground and he fainted, Rav Kuk. Afterwards, when he regained consciousness, he wept bitterly. He tore his garments over the house of Israel and the nation of Hashem that had been felled by sword, that had been cut down by sword. He wallowed in the dirt and recited the brach of Baruch Dainheim. This was not on Shabbos. I'm not reading the whole thing. His mourning was not on Shabbos. There's a next story, which I'm not reading because it's a little longer, relates how all Shabbos he kept his emotions in check, but after Shabbos is when he began bitterly weeping and lamenting, okay? He wallowed in the dirt and he said, Baruch Dayana Emes, blessed is the true judge. For some time afterwards, he ate mourner's bread. He personally was not in mourning. He didn't lose his child, Chas V'Sham, or his brother, Chas V'Sham, or his father, but he tore Kriya. He ate mourner's bread, he drank bitter tears, he refused to place a pillow under his head. From then on, old age crept up to him, said Rav Aryeh Levine, and he began to feel severe pains. This brought on the fatal disease from which he never recovered. Rav Bezalel Zalty, later to become the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, added this account, one more paragraph. My master and teacher, Rav Yecheskel Sarner, Rav Chatzkel, head of the Chevron Yeshiva, once told me, let me show you how deep Rav Kuk's love for the Jewish people ran. When that great tragedy occurred, the Chevron massacre, and they're talking about Rachel Mavakal Bana, and the yeshiva students were massacred in the bloody riots of Chevron, I, Rabbi Cheskel Sarner of Chatzko, was already one of the heads of the yeshiva. And I knew the young men quite well who were massacred. When I received the bitter news, I was utterly shocked. My heart shriveled in grief. The pain was unbearable. Nonetheless, I did not faint. And yet, when Rav Kuk heard what happened, he fainted and fell to the ground. His pain and shock were deeper and greater than my pain and than my shock. So when the author tells us, we see here tzaddikim, Rav Aryeh Levine or Rav Chatzko, relating about a greater tzaddik in their estimation, not in our estimation. Rav Kook, to them, they said was a greater tzaddik, and he felt a heightened degree of pain. So that's exactly what the author says here. The greater a tzaddik, the greater the ability to feel the pain of others, because that tzaddik really does not sense any division or any separation between factions or members or hashkafos or groups. All of Klal Yisrael is one. And that's something all of us, have to work very hard on. Yisrael ki tshibrichu arayis echad hu. To not feel that I'm a separate entity from God and I have to come to Him, but rather I am. I mean, His image is like this. I'm one. He blew into my nostrils the soul of life. And also to feel, this week we really meet Avraham Avinu, Nechucha, the father and founder of the Ummi Yisraelis, and Rachel Imenu, the fourth of the matriarchs, third, fourth, whichever one you count her as, Leah, Rachel, crying. Because when we feel the pain of another Jew, perhaps then we will merit when Hashem says we are one with God, I'm one with Knesset Yisrael, and Hashem will want to be one with us. And we will see the fulfillment of the beautiful prophecy with which we began tonight's shir. When the virgin maiden daughters will dance, and old men and children will sit together, when we will have no more grief and no more worries, and our mourning will be turned into rejoicing, and Rachel Imenu will finally stop crying. And now the Applebaum's wedding gown will be used for simchas. On the Kalal Anetzach, Alavai, we should be zochet to the Tchias HaMesum. Umach Hashem Dima Me'al Kol Panim. May the Neshem of Miriam Frul and Miriam Baschaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShal, merit a continuous aliyah and the schus of this Torah learning that we share. I thank you so much, everybody. Wish you a week of Besuras Tovos and a wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov.